We're here with Robin Blessing with Life on Wheels. And why don't you just start by telling, I mean, if somebody doesn't know what exactly Life on Wheels is, and then we can get into what all the, you said the crazy things that are going on right now.
Goodness. Life on Wheels is a licensed mobile medical clinic that's run out of an RV, Class A, Newmar RV. We now have four. We just got our latest one in February.
Sure.
And the newest one is operating here in Montgomery because we started in Montgomery December of 2016. So we really ran that bus a lot. It had less than 50,000 miles on it, but you know, it had probably five generators and three sets of stairs and two toilets and redid the whole inside. You know, it just takes a lot of wear because we've had over 7,000 clients on that bus.
And wow. So,
yeah, it's been wonderful that they will come. I don't know that we knew if they would get on the bus, you know, to have a medical procedure with people they don't even know. So that's what we do. In 2018, we launched an inquisition kind of into Birmingham. We were taking our bus one day a week to check it out. And then in 2020, we got our first bus in Birmingham. We had anonymous donation for $175,000.
Mm-hmm.
That just paid for a whole bus. And then in 2021, we had a group in Birmingham of ladies that gave us another $75,000, and we purchased our second bus. With that second bus, we've been taking it into Tuscaloosa. Now, just as of the last couple months, we're bringing that second bus back to Birmingham because Birmingham is really, after all these years, finally starting to take off. And our old bus was refurbished by our man, our pit crew leader in Birmingham, and we sent it to Tuscaloosa. So we're spread around a lot. Montgomery's very busy, very busy. So it's good.
So explain to people how that works. You said a mobile unit, so you drive it to different areas. So kind of
We take it to areas where we think we'll reach unreached women. And when I say that, what we're offering is pregnancy testing and ultrasounds for women who've had no prenatal care and don't have a doctor. So 100% of the women who get on our bus are not under a doctor's care.
Mm-hmm.
So the number three problem, according to ADAP, you know, the Alabama Department of Public Health, is low birth weight babies in Alabama. And that comes from no prenatal care. And so we're seeing all these women who think they're pregnant, and many of them are, and pretty far along sometimes, and they've had no prenatal care. So what we do is we're really looking for women who are abortion-minded and alternative. And so what we do is the bus looks totally medical. We are a licensed mobile medical clinic with the state. But they're going to get Jesus when they get on the bus. We just don't put him on the outside. We don't have pro-life tags or any of that, you know. So they get on the bus. What we do is we do their intake, right, which is getting their information, do a pregnancy test. If they are pregnant, we're going to do an ultrasound if they're far enough along to see something. If they're abortion-minded, we're going to do an ultrasound even if we know they won't see anything. We're going to talk to them and try to tell them you've got time, you don't have to, you know. 25% of all pregnancies end in miscarriage, usually very, very early on. That's from Dr. Phillips. So, you know, our ladies have the verbiage. They'll say, you know, why would you spend the money on an abortion if you don't even know if this is going to, you know, if you're going to have a viable pregnancy. We find quite a few ectopic pregnancies, mm-hmm. and so we're sending them directly to the ER because they'll die if they don't get that addressed. So we do a lot. So after they've had their ultrasound, 89% of women will choose to parent, even if they were planning to abort when they came to us. Because when you see that, and we've got big screen TVs, you know, one in the front and one in the back of the bus, and so the ultrasound machine is in the back of the bus, but if she's brought people with her and they're on the couch and she signs a release, they can watch the ultrasound in the front of the bus, you know. So we're projecting that ultrasound, making it big, you know, showing the heartbeat and letting them hear the heartbeat. And 89% of them will choose to parent. That's why there's Kleenex all over the bus. Because, you know, you go back there and you see it, you're like, oh, you know, they're just, they'll say things like, and you wouldn't think this in this time of online everything where you can see everything, but they'll go, oh, it has a head. It has a head.
It has legs.
And so what we're doing is personifying the baby. That's really what we're doing. And so at that point, that's when she sees it. Yeah, it's real. It's not a bundle of cells. It's not a product of conception. It is a product of conception, but it's for real, you know. And so at that point, that's when our social services parts kicks in, which I brought you some information about that. Because our demographics are our ladies, our average lady is 20 to 29 with one or more children. We're not seeing about a bunch of teenagers. And if we do see teenagers, they want their babies. That's usually how it is. Their parents might not, but they do. And so we have social services that we can offer for these women for their existing children, you know, and not only for her situation, but we also refer, we refer everybody to a pregnancy center because most of them don't know about pregnancy centers. And I mean, our pregnancy centers are our buddies.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, we're sending them. Dr. Phillips always says, we're the ambulance, the pregnancy centers are the hospital. Mm. You know, we've got to get them connected. I was going to tell you, our top referrals, like this past month in May, doctors and clinics and pregnancy centers and WIC and Medicaid, that's our main ones. But there's lots of others that I'll tell you about that we refer to, but those are our main things. They don't have a doctor if they're seeing us, because we're not going to overstep another doctor's care. So that's the first thing we need to do. And so in order to get a doctor, if they don't have insurance, we've got to help them get Medicaid. And in Central Alabama, there's a program called MyCare out by Medicaid. And what they do, it's run through Blue Cross Blue Shield, actually. And what they do is they assign a nurse to each of these ladies. And they, if the ladies do not use MyCare, they won't pay for their delivery. So that's how they get them to have prenatal care. You know, but of course it's a big advantage to them too to have that. And so that's what we do. We follow up on every client until either they quit answering us or until we know we've made a handoff with either a pregnancy center. Usually we'll call and they'll say, oh, I'm going to Earn While You Learn classes and I'm, you know, getting diapers, and we're always pumping that up, you know, to try to help them that way. So, and then we have many who come back with, which I brought a video to you. Yeah, that will come back and tell us their story after they have the baby. And that's just so amazing because I've been in church my whole life, and, you know, there's not always a ministry where you get to see the results right now. It's a big faith walk. Mm-hmm. And this one we do, so it's really fun. Good morning. So does that kind of answer that?
Yes, it does. So in Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Montgomery, you have areas where you drive the bus where you know you're going to see these people.
I didn't really answer that part. It's pretty much trial and error. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, I can't tell you how many different places we went to in Montgomery, but our current area is on Monday. Well, on Mondays right now, we're on the lot across from the abortion clinic all day long because that was donated to us by a bunch of business people, actually, when the abortion clinic was closed and they were trying to block us from being over there, you know, they were like, actually, Price was right helping with that. It's like, we'll just park on the lot, you know. And so we put a power pole in so we can plug in and not use our generator. Mm-hmm. Tom knows that area very well. It's 2.2 acres, y'all. It is a lot to mow. And we have all volunteers that mow it. Okay, so that's what we do on Mondays right now. Usually on Monday afternoons, we would be at ASU, Alabama State University. During the summer, you know, it's not that busy. But in the afternoons, they let us park right in front of the Academy.
Really?
So we park there, yes. On Tuesdays, all day from 10 to 7, we are in the parking lot of Eastbrook Shopping Center. Mm-hmm. Just park right by the street. On Wednesdays, we are on Atlanta Highway in between. Faulkner owns that property over there by Hardee's and all that. And we park in between Roots and El Jalisco. We park right there on Atlanta Highway. And then on Thursday, well, and in the afternoon, if they have clients, we go up to Prattville and do the ultrasounds for the pregnancy center, Mary's Haven. And we're friends with River Region, too, but Mary's Haven is right next to the Catholic Church, St. Joseph's. On Thursdays, that's our sex trafficking day. We are on Carmichael Road in the parking lot of Ask Telemarketing right there. Rick Burley lets us park. And that is the number one. That tied with TNA Truck Stop are the number one places for trucks for sex trafficking and also prostitution. So we're parked there, and then on Fridays, we park right next to COPE, the Catholic Pregnancy Center. I say Catholic, it's promoted by, but everybody goes there. They have 3,800 clients a year.
Wow.
To that little historic house, and we're right there by McDonald's. So the main point is that we're out there, we're visible. It says walk-ins. We don't do appointments because our clients always aren't always able to have transportation. And so, you know, if they show up, they just get in line to get on.
Well, so, okay, walk us through. She comes and she, you know, knocks on the door and y'all let her in. What is the process?
What's the process? Mm-hmm. She shows us her ID, or we take a picture and we make a medical file and we give her an iPad, and it's called, on it is a questionnaire. It's like 10 questions. And it's called My Plan. What is your plan? How do you feel? It's how do you feel? Scared? Excited, you know, mad, you know, angry. And then it just tells us things like, do you have support? You know, is the father of the baby involved? Are you, do you have a job? Do you have insurance? Things like that. And we tell them going on, said, we're going to ask you some questions, but we're not trying to get in your business. We're trying to help you, you know, so that they understand. So they fill that out, and then she goes in the bathroom and has a pregnancy, the urine pregnancy test. And while we're looking at that, the client advocate, who is her person, is scoring it. And if it's four or under, then we would say she's not abortion vulnerable. But she may tell us, oh, I'd never have an abortion, but my boyfriend's going to kick me out. I don't have a job. I don't. You know, so we know in our heads what that's when we would call vulnerable. Somebody that's in a situation where something could just push her, you know, over the edge. So we know what kind of resources that we could bring to her. Then once she does that, then they take her into the sauna room, and she has an ultrasound, and the screens are big, you know, so she's laying there right there. And we have actually had clients close their eyes and say, no, I don't want to see. I don't want to see. You know, but she sees it. They're just amazed. We take pictures. And usually the sonographer will write, hi, mom, hi, dad, hi, grandma, whoever's on the screen, you know, give them a picture, let them take it with them. Then when they come out, then now's when we're going to talk to her about the gospel, and we're also going to offer her resources. And so we tell her the resources, which I'll show you. This is something we've developed lately. And my thing that I would say is we have a lot of resources we can offer you, but the best resource I can offer you is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him? You know, and just start. And we share the gospel. Hopefully with everybody. Well, we share it with everybody that'll let us, you know, sometimes they're like, no, I don't want to. But since we started in Montgomery, we have, well, our totals right now, I think are 442 babies that we know the mother said they were going to abort and they didn't. And then 422 professions of faith. And so that's just so great. We give them a Bible. We have churches that donate Bibles. Lou Phillips donates Bibles. Baptist Health donates Bibles. And then we now are working to connect them with local churches. We have 94 that we've been able to connect to local churches. And the way that works is the churches agree to take them, you know, because these aren't always easy clients. You know, some of them just want a church home. They're not abortion-minded. But if, for sure, if they had a profession of faith, we want to make sure they get back in church. And so we have a list of churches. We look at where they live. I say we. This is Kimberly Barker that does it. She looks at where they live. She contacts the church, gives them the information. And some of the churches really get deep in it. Like, you know, how many kids does she have? What sizes are they? All that. I mean, you know, there's a lot. But it's not so great just to share the gospel with somebody and then say, go have a great life. You know what I mean? They need discipleship. And we're not set up for that, but we do have friends who are. So that's what we do. And I would say a huge, huge part of what we do is connect our ladies with all the resources that are available in the community. You know, and that's the state, you know, the government agencies, the churches, the pregnancy centers, the nonprofits. I mean, we have so many that you'll see on here that we're connected with because if the ladies don't know about it, it's like it's not even there.
Right, right.
And it is amazing to me how many of these women come on that have children that don't have access to WIC. Mm. And they're having, I mean, you know, that's just such a basic thing that's available that they don't know about it. So
that's great. Okay, so segue, I know things in this the world of abortion have changed in the last couple of years since the Roe v. Wade was, you know, all that. So tell us how that's changed in your world. You know, what does that look like now? I mean, we can sure. look at the ad that you sent.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would like to. What's happened is it's gotten harder. We were so excited to see Roe v. Wade overturned June 24th, 2022. But what happened is that abortion did not end, it went underground. You know, used to when we parked across the abortion clinic, we knew if they were going in, it was a pretty good chance they were, you know, having what their idea was. And we knew how to market to that. But now, you know, we have to go out and really down the streets and find them. We're being very aggressive in our advertising. That is one thing I wrote. I said it was like $1,100 a year, I think, on that paper thing. I mean, a month, and it's $1,100 a year.
Okay, all right, yeah.
We do, we spend, I think, $1,150 a month, but that's on our total advertising mm-hmm. budget. That's not on just abortion pill reversal. And what has changed is that instead of doing medical abortions, which are now illegal in Alabama, women are ordering the abortion pills online and having an abortion in their home. Imagine that. I mean, it's horrific, and we get horrific phone calls because women are saying, oh, I need to take care of this, but they're not thinking through. You're going to go into your bathroom, to your house, and deliver a baby after quite a long, painful time because mm-hmm. your body is not ready at 9 weeks. Most of our clients are under 10 weeks. Well, you're not supposed to take the abortion pill unless you're 10 weeks or under. So you're not ready to go into labor. So you have to put yourself in labor with these pills, and it is a long process. When I worked at Baptist, I was a secretary. I don't think I was a nurse. No. I was a unit secretary. I mean, they bring in someone who had a fetal demise. And that means the baby was dead, but they still have to deliver it. And they, first thing they would do with those women is give them an epidural because this is going to be hard and painful. And these women are being told online, it's like a heavy period. Oh, no, no, it's not. Dr. Phillips says, imagine, you know, a 2-liter bottle of Coke. That's how much blood is involved at the minimum. And then they're usually by themselves. You know, I mean, it's horrific. And then they deliver something that looks like a baby because it is. And then they don't know what to do with it, you know. And so it's just really, it's heartbreaking, it's sad, and we've had lots of women talk to us about that. So right now when we see women, and I get phone calls where ladies will say, they used to say, where are y'all located? And, you know, I want an ultrasound. Now they say, I need an ultrasound to see how far along I am. Okay, what they're telling me is, am I under 10 weeks? Can I take the abortion pill? Am I under 6 weeks? Can I go to Georgia for the heartbeat? Florida, I think they went back to 6 weeks. They were vacillating between 6 and 15. But women are traveling, and states are paying for them to come. Oh, Florida will give them a plane ticket to come. Yes, yes, they will. It's crazy. And pay for their abortion and pay for the whole thing. It's just crazy. And this is the thing. Bethany Garth said this. I can't really take credit for this because Bethany, who's the head of First Choice, said, you know, we have to remember that they are just as passionate on their side as we are on our side. So that would probably be a good time to show this. This video that I'm going to show you was paid for by Gavin Newsom. California, what's he doing here? And this is it. This, and he put this out. My husband videos Jeopardy for me because I love Jeopardy. You know, I'm never home for Jeopardy. And so this was shown every single show, I mean, for like a month or two. It's crazy. And
okay. Good God.
Almost there. We're going to make it.
Trump Republicans want to criminalize young Alabama women who travel for
reasons. That's on TV.
Yes.
You know,
I'm going to need you to step out of the vehicle.
Make a pregnancy test. Stop them by taking action at righttotravel.org. Campaign for Democracy Group is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Is that not crazy? And don't you love the accent, too?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Sounds familiar.
Miami. Oh, it's so pitiful. And there's more, like that he did this in Alabama, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. Saves it outlawed abortion. The one in Tennessee shows a girl handcuffed to a bed in an hospital. It's just ridiculous. But I told my husband, although I got this off TikTok, they were showing it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And Bubba, let me just tell you this. Nobody young watches TV. My kids are 41 and 33. And they haven't watched TV in years. They do, you know, Hulu and all that. So they're targeting people our age that watch TV and trying to make them think that this is for real. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
My first thought, was it legal for them to run an ad that is so...
Exactly.
You know, false.
Oh, it's horrible. And I don't know... My office person, Lori Lawrence, I don't even know what to call her because she does everything. She's wonderful, a bookkeeper and stuff. But she's the one that really researched that and that... Americans for Democracy group, and she said, Robin, that's Gavin Newsom. So it was awful, but I don't know that it ran long enough for our Steve Marshall to get into it or anything. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure they had lawyers going through with a fine-tooth comb. You can't say this word,
yeah,
that phrase.
But
you know,
show a state trooper arresting somebody?
Well, no, he just said you have to take this pregnancy test. He didn't say you're arrested.
Well, he put her under the cuff.
Yeah.
Well,
he detained
her. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm no, I mean, yeah, I'm a lawyer.
I was going to ask you, are you an attorney?
I mean, I'm extended. I'm just saying, I know, yeah. You know, it's just law on the land. I mean, there's enough legal, I mean, obviously they looked at pretty close, but it's so disgusting. It makes you want to just, you know,
right.
Just scream. But.
And I did get this from TikTok, which... Our ladies do see, and we advertise heavily on Facebook, which is parents, and Instagram and TikTok. And what we have found is that women aren't telling us like they used to that they were abortion-minded. Now, we know they are because we see their situations with things going on, but used to, they'd be a lot more up. And I'm not sure if it's because all this advertising is scaring them.
They won't get arrested.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Planned Parenthood and the abortion clinic here on their website was saying, if you take the pill, don't go, and you have to go to the hospital, don't tell them you took the pill. Nothing is going to be done to the woman. It's the sellers of the, you know, pills that are medical people, but that enable an abortion. But women are being scared, and even with that topic, you know, a topic is serious. That's, you know, when the fertilized egg, which is, it's not, that when the, it's not a fertilized egg, it's a baby. When it gets into the tube, I mean, it's going to burst the fallopian tube, and it's going to kill her, and it's certainly going to kill the, you know, that fetus. And so they're telling them, well, you know, you can't go because they'll arrest you. There's just a lot of misinformation out there. So a lot of what we're doing is telling them the truth, consoling them.
Let me ask you this, you know, and I'm pretty radical. Abortion is murder.
It is.
Why don't we use those kind of terms? Is that too strong?
It's truth, but it's too strong for them. Later on down the road, they may be able to handle it. I mean, I've told you my story. I had an abortion in 1988. The problem is they don't see it as a baby. See, once they see it's a baby,
well, they need more education of how babies are created. you know, not people, even dogs, whatever. I mean, if we get away from birth, life is a conception,
right,
then you can do anything.
Exactly, and that's what happens.
What they've done.
That's why our society is like this, actually. I think Mother Teresa said that if you kill a baby, you know, why wouldn't you kill somebody on the street?
Yeah, I'm too simple. 2 + 2, I think. And that's where you start.
Exactly.
But is a boy really a boy? I mean, we've got that.
Well, I mean, we've got so far, you know.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, a baby's just a thing. It's not really, you know, it's just you know, blah, it's not really a baby. I mean, a man's not a man. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's a woman. All I'm saying is, we're so far down the road.
You're right.
We, that commercial
we started here.
It's kind of like, well, that's nothing compared to some guy that's, you know, it's any more door.
But, yeah, it's hard. We don't say murder to them. They come to their own conclusions. They realize it.
I guess I said I'm pretty radical, so I don't. I wouldn't help you in the
The thing that is the problem is that we don't teach it in schools and churches. Now the Catholics do, man. When I go to the Catholic schools, they got pictures everywhere of ultrasounds and babies and, you know, life begins and all this. But, you know, I've been a Protestant my whole life. And I started out Assembly of God, then I went to non-denominational when I got here, and then now I'm Free Methodist. And until just recently, nobody was saying the word at abortion in church at all. Now I'm sure y'all know this thing, but most churches were not. I can say that because when I started, somebody gave me a list of all the churches in Montgomery, and I already knew because I'd been on a church staff. I was like, this isn't going to cut it. This isn't going to work. And so, the good thing that happened about Roe, besides it being overturned, is that it brought it into the conversation, you know, out in the open. So I'd like to show you this video. Now, this lady showed up on our bus, and she started crying the second she got on the bus. She was the sweetest thing.
So tell us about your first visit on the bus.
Yeah, so I was going through a really rough patch with my little one's dad at the time, and we weren't sure what we were going to do. Found out at about 2 a.m. with an at-home test that I might be pregnant. And he panicked, didn't know what to do, got online and started looking at options, and found the ultrasound bus, and went out of my way to hunt y'all down the next morning, and confirmed that I was about 5 weeks along. Got to see a little bitty heartbeat that just made me melt. And then, you know, got the options. I didn't really know what I was going to do. Like I said, our dad and I were going through a really rough time. Weren't sure if we were going to stay together, if we were ready to be parents, or what was going to happen. But that little heartbeat on that screen just melted me. And we decided that we were going to keep her and that everything was going to be fine and we were going to figure it out one way or the other. And here we are with an almost one-year-old. We got married about a month before she was born and worked through everything. Just wanted to stop by and tell you guys how much this means and how big of an impact you have. So thank you, because it seems scary and we're still struggling, but I wouldn't want it any other way.
Because this little girl is the most precious thing. Well, talk a little bit about now when y'all are talking about the reversal. Explain what you mean when you say that, because not everybody understands it. Right. Like the two pills and all that.
Right. There are two pills that you are given when you order the abortion pills online, they send you some pills, and you're supposed to, all over the packaging, it says, do this with doctor's, you know, visit and all that, under medical care. And if you're going to an abortion clinic, out of state, of course, they make you take the first pill right there. And what the first pill does is it cuts off progesterone. And this is Dr. Phillips explains like this. He says, progesterone is what makes the pregnancy continue. You know, it supports the baby. If you cut that off, then it's cutting off the pregnancy. And then the second pill that you take is what starts labor. You know, and so if you can get a woman, because so often this is just crazy, they'll take that pill and then they'll regret it immediately. You know, isn't that just what the enemy does? I used to have a pastor who says that enemy tempts you to do it, he'll take your lunch and pop the bag. You know? Yeah. So he'll, you know, he tempts you to do it and then dogs you the rest of your life for doing it. And so they regret it. And so if you get to a doctor within 24 hours and they can give you a shot of progesterone, you're good to go. You can, you know, not all the time, but often, yeah. Often. And it doesn't harm the baby. You know, the baby is, it's going to be a successful pregnancy. We've had Dr. Phillips here will do that. There's an abortion hotline where you can call because you've got to, you know, a lot of times it's like it was on the weekend or something. You know, you have to find somebody that will do this. But there's a lot of information out there that once you take the pill, that's it. And so we are heavily advertising. And that's why I brought this paper right here to show y'all. I hope you have it. This was an email from Savannah, who does our IT stuff and puts our ads out. This was just in Montgomery, Birmingham, and Tuscaloosa. I'm sorry. And it shows you, okay, overall, I had added it up. But if you look at Montgomery, we spent, well, it costs, okay, clicks to call. What that means is they clicked on the abortion hotline number to call the hotline number. So 69 calls in 1 month. We reached 7,951 people with in the information, but 69 people clicked to call the abortion hotline, which is exciting. Then you can see the same thing in Birmingham, and you can see in Tuscaloosa. Tuscaloosa, smaller place, but we had a lot more clicks, you know. And so what we've been doing is focusing on advertising abortion pill reversal. It's not really what we do, but it's in our wheelhouse, you know. And so we're getting such big results that we're seeing the information needs to be out there, that women know that you can reverse an abortion pill if you get to it quick enough. So it's called APR in our system now, and people call that. And it's really becoming a thing, because if they're going to advertise abortion pills, then we need to advertise that, hey, you know, there's a way to reverse it. I did a nationwide interview with somebody, I think it was American Family Radio or something, and they had somebody else on, that woman from New Jersey. She and her husband, they had children, and she had taken the pill. And he said immediately they regretted it. They regretted it, like, immediately, you know. And so they were able to get with a doctor, and they had a healthy baby. But it's just so sad to think that it just happens like that, and people think there's no way out. So but over 60% of all the abortions being done now are abortion pills. And it's, you know, there was this thing that came out that said, oh, you're going to have a doctor. They're going to, you know, they're going to check you and everything online, telemedicine. No. What you do is you pay your money. It comes from India or Europe, you know, and that's how it comes. They brought them just to show it to us. So
how does the woman know that she needs to take the pill? I mean, they're not under the doctor's care.
That's where we come in. They come to us, and we're like, oh, let us see how far along you are. Because we're not judging them, you know what I mean? But we know when they see that ultrasound, and see, I think that's the thing that stands out so much about the one I showed you. They're not seeing bouncing babies. 5 weeks is like a gummy bear, you know? But you can see the heartbeat, and if our sonographer knows that she's abortion-minded, we're going to turn that thing up, you know?
Assume it is.
That's fine. Go all out.
How late in the pregnancy can they take the baby?
Well, they're only supposed to take it before 10 weeks because the size of the baby is bigger.
Yeah. But they're not on the medical care or come to see you, they don't know.
Right, and that's why they're coming to us. I mean, we have no idea. We don't have ideas that they want to come see us and change their minds. They want to find out.
But you know, since it's Roe v. Wade, you know, they've kind of gone under, which makes it dangerous.
Very.
But I'm wondering, you know, you just said, you know, where the, you know, you come to the abortion, you'll call the abortion hotline. Well, you know good and well that these abortion clinics are saying, yeah, call our abortion hotline. thinking they're calling y'all when they're actually calling the abortion clinic to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But.
You know, I think it's the opposite right now.
Really?
Our calls went up 250%.
Oh, really?
After, because the abortion clinics couldn't stay open. You know what I mean? I mean, the one here in Montgomery, they tried to at first, passing out condoms and Plan B, which is the pill that you take the day after, maybe that will help. But anyway, they call us by mistake, I think.
Okay.
And see, we are Image Clear Ultrasound. When they call and say Image Clear Ultrasound, we give them, all the medical stuff. We advertise that we've got more than one website. We've got the website that's for all of y'all that love us and we tell you everything like all these figures. We've got, every city has its own website that is geared towards abortion-minded women. You have questions about abortion, call. And we have to say on there, we do not refer for abortion, but we can give you all the information you need. And boy, they do. They come to us. Because I get the figures every month from Wix and Google about how many are coming on our website. I think on this one it said she posted a blog, Myths About Abortion Pill, with information on reversal and hotline information. And a blog, people don't read. So, not that much. I mean, I can tell you that for sure. But 56 people read it in Montgomery, 52 in Birmingham, and 38 in Tuscaloosa. So the information is interesting to people. I mean, they want to know what to do. And so.
And what is really scary is, people who aren't educated and don't understand will take it even if they know they're, too far along, right?
Yeah, that exact thing happened to us. Actually, this woman, I don't know if I'm going to use this, but she said she'd make us a video about her situation. And what she did is she took the pill. She was between 13 and 15 weeks, and she regretted it. This is her Montgomery. She regretted it immediately, so she went to Baptist South. Baptist South of New York told her it's going to do what you wanted it to do. And sent her home. So then she went to Baptist East, who was a little more compassionate, but when she got there, her water broke and she delivered the baby, and she said she held it in her hands and he was alive. He lived like an hour or two. It was horrible. I mean, 15 weeks, it was horrible. And so she called us and told us this, and we had her come in because she was suicidal. I mean, and so we were able to, just flew out of my mind. There's a new place on Carmichael now that's a walk-in clinic for mental health. I'm sure it's probably on here. We gave her that. There's also another one called Scarlet to White. We're able to connect her with some resources and pray for her. She actually came to Christ when she came on the bus and was telling them all this, and she came to Christ. But it's a very hard situation, she needs Jesus for sure. We all do. I mean, how do you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're 10 weeks along and you order the pills, how long does it take for them to get there and for you to take them?
The pill is free?
No, but they're not very expensive. Well, you know what? I saw on TV that in one of the northern states.
Yes, I saw that in New York.
Yes, you can tell that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I just saw it was a news.
Down.
They are shipping them out for free.
They have volunteers that would package them and mail them into states.
They wouldn't show their face on TV.
We could get them here if we knew.
Well, Bethany Garth holds one up. She ordered.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. And so you can just order them, you can have them, and it's, and again, what Bethany said, they're just as radical on their side about women's rights, as we are about saving the woman. So we've got to be just that radical. Yes.
Do we have an idea of how many women die because of this, taking the pill?
I don't think they're putting that out there right now, but I'm sure they're trying to hide it.
There's a statistic, though, about the hemorrhaging risk.
Hemorrhaging, Dr. Phillips says 1 in 100 will hemorrhage bad enough that they need to come to the ER. Would they be scared to come? Would they actually come? I mean, I know there's statistics about women who've had, who've died from abortions, just in our state, but I don't think we know yet, and I don't know that number.
Well, will the hospitals treat them?
Yeah.
I mean, they will. I mean, I know they have to, but at the same time, who's going to get in trouble the manufacturer of the pill, if somebody dies, who are they going to sue? I mean, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was their choice, obviously.
It was their choice, and it wasn't. I think if it had been manufactured and sold in Alabama, then you'd have a case,
right,
you know. But, you know, and by the way, CVS and Walgreens are going to carry abortion pills. They do carry abortion pills. That's,
but they can't in Alabama.
Not in Alabama. No, but, you know, can you drive to Columbus and, you know.
But they do have, do they have Plan B on the shelves?
Plan B is everywhere. Yeah, Plan B is everywhere. And what that is it's a pill that's like a morning after pill you're supposed to take so that the baby would not embed itself in the womb. All right, but what happens is they get pregnant more often after taking that because it messes up your cycles. And so it's, you know, that's one thing we talk about on the bus all the time. If you've taken Plan B, you know, don't think that it's, you're going to be messed up. You know, you've got to pay attention. So we do not, no pregnancy centers, and us included, even though we're not, but we do not refer for contraceptives. Just because of legalities, and also if you're supported by Catholics, you have to sign a thing saying you won't.
Right.
Which I do because they bought all of our ultrasound machines. But we couldn't anyway. You know, and I'm not saying I don't believe in it, but you know that's not what we say. The thing that we push is abstinence.
But, have you ever had a situation like when you're doing an ultrasound, you see a baby with anencephaly or anything else like that? And if you do, what do you do in that case?
We don't talk about, we do what we call early ultrasounds and limited ultrasounds. Actually, I had a sonographer up in Birmingham who had a baby with a, what do they call it, acephaly. It's it didn't have a brain. You know what I mean? The face looks normal, but then there's nothing back there. And she delivered it. And, I mean, she knew all along that she had that. Emily knew. And some, we actually had somebody on the bus that was talking about, well, in cases like this, you know, you need to go ahead. And she said, I felt like she deserved life, however long it would be.
We had a child.
Did you?
Like that. We didn't have, they didn't have ultrasound when we had him. So he lived 3 days.
Yeah. Right. But, well, who's to say that those 3 days, I mean, you know, God gave him those 3 days. And so, it's a slippery slope. I was speaking to the Civitans last week, and one of the gentlemen asked me, well, what about the life of the mother? And I said, that is such a red herring. Because if you look on the Alabama Department of Public Health website, and they list, up until when abortion was, you know, outlawed, they list where every abortion is done, which center it was done, how it was done, whether it was a DNC or an evacuation or what pills, whatever. They list all that. When you go on there, it says how many were done for the health of the mother. What do you think?
Zero.
Zero.
Well, then there's the misunderstanding that people say they won't do a DNC now.
Mm.
And that's not, I know people who have had DNCs.
I thought,
yeah, true. And so I'm like, why are they saying in Alabama you can't even get a DNC?
And that's such a lie. That's such a lie.
But the people believe it.
Well, yeah, it's being advertised.
Be arrested for intervention.
Right, but I mean, I'm just like, if you have a miscarriage, you're going to have a DNC.
Oh, yeah. Well, they try, if you actually miscarry.
Right.
And but they do a DNC if the whole placenta hasn't gone, mm-hmm. because you can get an infection and die.
Right. And it's such misinformation.
It is. It's scare tactics. Mm-hmm. And that's what the enemy uses is fear. That's its whole thing, mm-hmm. is fear. But like I told this gentleman, I said, what happens is if the woman goes into some kind of distress, first of all, they take her to Baptist East and put her in antepartum, put her to bed. I mean, I used to work there. She's there. And then they have her on a monitor. And if something starts to go wrong, they run her down the hall to the OR, which is right there, deliver the baby, put him in the NICU, and she's fine. You know, that's what happens. Well, usually she's fine unless there's something else going on. But you don't kill a baby because the mother's got, you know, placenta previa or she's got high blood pressure or whatever it is. That's not what happens. They deliver the baby.
Even if it's really early.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We just had at Fraser, they just had triplets. And one of them was 1 pound, 5 ounces. And the other ones were 2 pounds something. And they're still, you know, they're still surviving. And so, I had a little boy that was in my church one time. He was 1 pound, 9 ounces, Justin. And I saw him at, we went to the ring, we went to go to the movies, and there he was, passing out tickets. I was like, he's like, Miss Robin, you know, he has cerebral palsy. He does, but he's precious and he's working, and, you know, we just can't play God like that.
Well, I know we've had a lot of discussion. We can move to a time of prayer. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I do want to show y'all this, because last time I think you asked me about one of the resources we have, so I gave you these. These are available to everybody, and these are what we pass out to. Sorry, I didn't mean to do it. These are what we are giving to our clients. You know, Medicaid, MyCare, as I told you, Medicaid, WIC, but there's so many other things. You know, transport, Women's Hope, and all these different things that are available to them. The Sunshine Center, all these people we are collaborating with, we're referring to them. And like, if you, all the woman does is just put her phone on this, and it'll bring a resource right up to her. If you want all the resources, you could just put your phone on this back one. It'll give you every one of them. I would like, I don't know, does anybody have a phone?
I do.
Okay, look at your sexual exposure. Just click that and look at that. Hopefully it'll work. I'd love to give this to young men. When you see it, you'll see why.
I know Ed. I grew up with Ed Gannon. So.
Oh, you know, I love Ed. He's on our board.
That's why I hate it.
And so, oh, wow.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. It just goes through how your partners and your exposure.
Those numbers are scary. Yeah. Aren't
they jump pretty quick, don't they?
That needs to be on every teenager's phone for sure, or every person's phone. Because, you know, that's a big one at Alabama State. Mm-hmm. That's a big, you know, because we're seeing a lot of negative pregnancy tests, but then you have to talk to them about STIs, STDs, you know, and so just tell them the truth, you know.
Well, that's what Bethany had talked about, getting into the middle schools, and she has that program now, and she just is like, we're just going to talk about it, you know, just be honest. And
because they're talking about it, I promise you, they're talking about it, and why are we pretending like it's not for real?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can move to a time of prayer. I've got the prayer request that you had sent. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
This week, the president of ICU Mobile is coming down here from Ohio on Thursday and Friday. And ICU Mobile has always traditionally, that's our fleet. That's who makes our bus and who we're affiliated with. They have traditionally been connected with pregnancy centers. Out of 44 in the fleet, I think there was three of us that were not connected to a pregnancy center, that were just, you know, out there doing it. And let me just say this. Any success we have is because of prayer and God. I mean, he has given us the success we have. But we're so far ahead of the others in the fleet that they're looking at maybe in larger cities putting some standalone buses like ours. When I say standalone, not connected to a pregnancy center. Not that we don't love pregnancy centers, but the budgets are huge. I mean, ours is $325,000 a year, you know, for Montgomery alone. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of money, and that's a lot for a pregnancy center to take on. So they're coming to strategize, to see what we do, to find out how it works, and see if they can implement it in other cities. And so that's exciting. Yeah, it's exciting. And so, you know, I'm believing God.
You're a prototype.
Yeah, really, isn't that something? Somebody that never was pro-life, that had an abortion, look what God does. I mean, he takes those foolish things to confound the wise. I was foolish for sure.
Well, Bubba, do you mind opening this, and Tom will close, and anybody who wants to pray.
Lord, I thank you for this time that we can hear about what's going on with saving lives, Lord. It's a hard time, but understanding how we got to this point in my lifetime anyway, but it's just so foreign to you, Lord, I know, and so foreign to me that we would be here, but we are. And I thank you for life on wheels. I thank you for Robin's heart and passion for it and what she's doing, and I thank you for the battle that's being waged right now with us trying to go against the world that has lost its way completely. Government's lost its way. It's just hard. But we know that you're in charge, and we know the battle is won as long as we have you. So I thank you for this work, and I pray that you would give them the courage to continue on. And Lord, as this outfit comes down here to see what's going on with the Life on Wheels, Lord, it might expand around the country. And Lord, be with the Montgomery bus, the Birmingham bus, the Tuscaloosa bus, and just people come in that they will see what they're doing, what they're thinking about doing, Lord, and change their mind. And Lord, we need revival in our land. We need revival everywhere. This is just an example of how far we've drifted in the wrong direction. So I do lift up the leaders. I guess Dr. Phillips was the one that, Matt Phillips, that started this, and Lord, his excitement for it and where it is gone. So we just continue to make more people aware of life begins at conception, and Lord, anything that we do to harm that is wrong. It is a sin. So I thank you again for this time and the education for me, because I'm so far out of it. It opens my eyes. So give us some strength and wisdom and money to take a stand against this evil. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come here this morning and talk to Robin and hear all the great things that you're doing through Life on Wheels. We pray that you continue to bless them and to protect them and to lead them to people that need to use their services, but to most importantly to hear about you, Lord. Thank you for Robin's perseverance and her transparency and her love for the cause, Lord. We just ask that you continue to help people see what the lies are, and to choose to follow you, make the decisions that you would want us to make. In Christ's name.
God, just thank for Robin's passion. Lord, those that work with Life on Wheels, all the many support people and the people on staff, the board members, all, Lord, give them strength, give them the passion and the vitality just to remain strong to this cause. God, we know that every baby is precious to you, and that you'll just continue to support their cause and help those to follow closely in passion.
Heavenly Father, our hearts ache as we think of these many, many abortions, thousands and thousands of abortions that happen, whether chemically or surgically, and all of the cultural issues that lead to those abortions, and then the aftermath, the consequences of hearts being hardened in this way. And yet we know, Lord, that also some hearts are softened, and as Robin has just described, and that the work of your Spirit and the work of your people to help people find faith in Christ through this time is always needed and important. And so we thank you for Life on Wheels and for Robin and for the many people who work on the buses, supporting the ministry and behind the scenes. Lord, we pray that you would continue to use this ministry for the sake of your kingdom, to bring people to faith, to save the lives of these unborn children, to encourage others to seek you. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege it is for us to be a part of this and to hear Robin's report here this morning. We pray that you would continue to bless this ministry. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.